okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes. Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay this man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know this.
That's it. I'm done.
Well, North Bay Stocks and Jacks, Tom Holly, just a member of the board. S&P Futures up 64. Yes, every day now we're doing this. Dow Futures up 389. NASDAQ Futures up 313. People are cheering across the land. Their money, they're making money every single day. They absolutely love it. We're not sure why we're cheering, but we are cheering. We don't know what's going on, but we're going up every day, and we're happy. Lou, are you happy?
I'm delirious. Can you not tell?
Yes. It's a... Let the record reflect that the night before the election, the spoos were down 50, and the bonds made it up to 0.95 10-year rate. Somewhere, Lou, in the middle of the night, somebody poured massive amounts of money into the system and drove the bonds down from 0.95 rate, no, drove the bonds up, sorry, drove the rate down from 0.95 to 0.74 and turn the S&P futures from being down 50 to basically up 100. Obviously the reason you're not going to get a whole lot of people, they're going to be pissed off that the government is making their 401k go up. Yet I think just about everybody, maybe the deepest, darkest depths of their mind, knows that that's BS, and a manipulated market is not one you can trust. Obviously, we're 4 days in a row here that people are pouring money in. Now, whether we're doing this to make everybody happy, whether we're doing it to keep people from rioting, whether we're doing it to try and inflate the world so the money the Fed has to pay back is less money, whether we decide we want to be the Weimar Republic, I don't know. But it really, I think that it's wrong, but I don't know how... If I'm the only person around who feels that way, I guess. As long as it goes up, I think most people think it's fine. If there was a law that says it couldn't go down, they'd probably love the law.
It's not stopping the rioting, though, at least not here in Denver and not in Portland and not in D.C. And I don't know what's going on in Chicago. I'm starting to look at these quote, demonstrations, unquote, as, kind of shopping sprees. Tonight is a night of unlimited shopping on the Miracle Mile. Has it been quiet in Chicago?
Well, we had a demonstration last night, I believe, right, Matty? But it was just your basic, there are four or five different reasons why we're going to get out there and make sure. I'd say, we had a little bit of Black Lives Matter. There's about four or five different themes to it. People just went down there and wandered around, and there wasn't any violence that I heard of. Am I correct on that?
Streets.
There was basically nothing. Yeah, there was it was like a couple hundred people, and it wasn't even a protest. I think they thought they were going to have to protest when it looked like Trump was going to win, and then and then it started to look like Biden's going to win, and they were like, well, we're already out here, and so they just kind of walked around, and no one really gave it much thought.
Nobody was breaking any windows, so that's good.
Yeah.
No, I don't think any of that. But it's just a general. I don't think we have different parts of the government doing different stuff, Lou. And
right.
It's almost like if I had to guess, it's almost like people with money, running this thing up, somehow find a way where they're out and out there leaving or what. We got some people leaving Chicago, maybe they're leaving the U.S. I have no idea, but it seems really strange to me. Something stinks, and I don't know. I should be happy with my clients making money on the way up, but I am for that. But it's just really weird, for this to happen when the money seems to be coming from the outside. I mean, this is not all of a sudden in the middle of the night on Monday night. All the investors in the world decided that the market was a buy. I mean, that's not what happened.
Yeah, I can understand. I mean, I can understand the market going up after the election when it looks like you're going to end up with a divided government. I think that's really what the electorate wants. it wants a government where, you know, one side is basically paralyzed for for a few years, and I think the expectation that that's going to happen is driving the investment after the election. I don't have any idea what would cause a bunch of money to flow in before the election, unless it's, as you say, the Fed pumping money into the system and trying to forestall any dramatic swings, especially dramatic swings to the negative in the market, to exacerbate something that's already dangerous.
But you can't do it in a vacuum. Well, you're in their mind, and everybody will. I'll come across. I'll tell you this, a story to where I sort of understand that this is true, that these people do manipulate, and this is not something that we. I was still on the board of the SIBO, so it was 1998, maybe 1997, whatever year. Then he found out what one of those years the Yankees were in the World Series with, because I was in New York Yankees. My last year on the board, I was in New York for a World Series game, because I was head of the marketing committee, and we had some soiree at the Yankee Stadium skybox, which really was the wrong term, because it was actually behind the grandstand, so you couldn't really see anything, except you watch TV and, sucked up shrimp and booze and talked to people.
Well, the Yankees won it 3 years in a row.
Who could have been anyone?
Yeah, 98, 99, 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they could have been any one of those years, but it was the episode with the long-term capital, and back in those days, you had an expiration once a month in the OEX, and the OEX was the biggest. It was the market. A lot of people don't remember that. I mean, the OEX pit where I traded was the second biggest exchange in the world. It did more contracts than the rest of the SIBO. It did more contracts in the MX, more in the PCOS. The only place that did more business was the New York Stock Exchange in that pit. There were 350 guys in there. And that was the market. That was the minis of the world. That was the spiders. We're always in one spot. And, not to go plus or minus on it, but it was probably the fairest market there was, because 60 to 65% of the trade was customer to customer. And now it's probably zero, or 2%. Maybe 5. I don't know. Maybe I'm exaggerating. But so we had this long-term capital episode where Russians were having problems and the long-term capital was losing money over there, and the market was kind of sinking pretty good. So they decided there was a fix. An expiration Friday morning at 10 in the morning, the Fed came out and they lowered the discount rate, half a percent or something, the Fed funds rate. I mean, they made this move during the day's trading. The market had kind of gone down, and all the market makers, because people were buying puts and you're the seller of insurance, we're essentially getting ahead of it, and we're leaning a little short. Not everybody, but some people leaning a little short, and all of a sudden the whole thing was over. They lowered the rate, they poured money into the system, it turned around, it had this massive rally. And luckily for me, I realized I was able to get some calls, and I was able to essentially break even that day. So I'm out the next week in one of these things, and one of the big connected schlumps we had in the room with us says, they know that we're here with a guy who trades in the OEX, and I just want to know, one of my friends from the Fed called, or the Treasury, one of the two, and he said, I want to know how bad it was for people in the pit. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, they essentially front-ran the thing that they were going to do that to the people like at Long Term Capital and a couple other places, and allowed them to get long, and so they basically bailed themselves out through the market. And we wanted to know, I said, it pretty much sucked. There's people that I traded with for 20 years that got carried out. I mean, it was a massive turnaround, a 10 during the trading day, Lou. But they did it on purpose. And they used it as a way to refloat long-term capital or whoever was behind it. And they did it on purpose. And they wanted to know the damage they did to regular people. And they're asking me. So, I can't believe that after all these years now, they decided they're not going to do that. And there's no question that these guys manipulate, and I think it's absolutely stinking wrong. But nobody's ever asked me. But the thing that's aggravating to me is that after all this time and after seeing it this much, I should have seen this one coming. I should have just got rid of every put and just got my people long calls and said, you know what, these idiots are going to do it again, and let's just at least be on the boat.
But you never, I mean, you never know. I mean, it can swing one way or it can swing the other. And given that we don't know where it's coming or when it's coming, I there appears to be no interest. I mean, this is what you're describing is the same way I feel about the Russia coup or about the coup attempt by the Democrats against the Trump administration. There appears to be no interest on the part of the mainstream press to investigate this thing or follow it up further. And so it's gonna. I would say keep ringing the bell on the show here, but it sounds to me like this is one of those stories that most people are, for whatever reason, most press is not willing to delve into. And I think the reason for that is it's complicated, and I think the other reason is that the press has continually reveals itself to be just terrible at covering anything related to numbers and math. So I don't know what to tell you except keep ringing the bell, and we'll see if something shows up. I would point out that this is consistent with other things that the press seems to do as of one mind. And that aids conspiracy theorists like me and to a certain extent like you with regard to what is happening behind the curtain on things like election night and election coverage and administration coverage up to this point. Again, I don't know what else to tell you except keep ringing the bell. I mean, one of the things that jumped out at me early on this process with the election was how badly the and how wrong the polls were and consistently wrong in one direction. And I mean, to my mind, again, because I've just seen this too often, it indicates not a matter of negligence. I mean, I see the brow beating going or chest beating going on right now with people saying, we should have spotted this. How come we didn't? We'll have to ask ourselves these questions. And I'm going, no, you don't have to ask yourselves these questions because this was not done as a matter of negligence. This was done, as far as I'm concerned, intentionally. You were intentionally misrepresenting or intentionally skewing the polls in one direction in an effort to defeat the Trump re-election opportunity. You were doing it to provide the Democrats with fundraising opportunities and fundraising motivation and doing it in an effort to suppress the Republican vote. And I don't think there's any... As an attorney, when you start looking at evidence going all in one direction, you start saying to yourself, this is not a matter of people being dumb because everybody's not dumb in the same direction or at the same time. So this is the kind of thing that causes me to be a conspiracy person at some point and say, we cannot trust any of our, quote, news institutions in this process because they allow their motivations to affect and distort everything that they report to us.
I'm going to push back on that a little bit because we talked about this with Jeff, and we talked about it yesterday a little bit with Kevin. I'm not so sure in today's age, Lou. I don't see how you even do a poll. I mean, you're not a spring chicken either. I mean, you remember when your home phone was locked into your address, was in the phone book, and even you and I could have done a random poll. Just by picking up, I mean, if we had a good map and took, 100 of the houses.
I understand.
But I'm saying, I think that right now, a lot of what happened, I think the Biden voter was a little more forthcoming. I mean, the thing with Trump, and let's face it, the man is despicable. Whether his, I think his, his view of some policies by being on the right, on the other side and realizing how screwed up the politics is, to a certain extent, to me, was very refreshing. I just wish he wouldn't have tripped all over himself with his personality.
So let me throw out a couple of things here, first of all. Number one, I agree that the polling is getting difficult, but when I see the polls going all in, the error going all in one direction, I start thinking to myself, you know what? They know that they're not getting these voters, and they're happy with it. So that's what I mean by intentional. The polls, I think the polls were intentionally skewed.
Well, you're talking about, there's two principles. Well, one of them is one of you're bringing out, I think, very well, is that most people that support candidates don't really give a rat's ass whether or not they like the candidate. They support them because they're going to win. Right?
No.
Why? Well, see, now you lived in the lily white suburb. If you lived in Chicago, and where Chicago got, as Mike Royko used to say, if Attila the Hun ran for mayor and you were a big law firm in the city, you'd send him a check.
If Attila the Hun was running as a Democrat, yes, I would.
Well,
because then I know
what I'm saying is you need access to whoever wins. In your worst nightmare as a law firm or an architecture firm or somebody that does business with the city, which or tries to do business in at all, and you need the city license or whatever, you better have gotten dropped a check on the person who won. And your worst nightmare is three.
I agree. How does that affect polling?
You said that there was a motivation into making Biden look like a big winner, that he got him more money. You're the one who said it. I'm just saying you are correct in the sense that when he was 8% ahead, every one of these big firms. And I rattled off the list the other day. I'm going to have it buried here someplace. But of all these guys, he used to work for Google, used to work for Microsoft, were sending this guy $4 or $5 million.
Sure.
Because they thought he was going to win. There's a lot to that. And by the way, the stocks that have gone up dramatically in the last 2 days are virtually all the stocks where people sent him money. This is... If anything, it's worse than you're talking about, Lou.
That goes to my point, which is that these polls are. I don't look at the polls as being a matter of incompetence. If it was incompetence, I would expect to see polls going in each direction, but they all go in one direction, and so I look at that and I say this is intentional. It's intentional. They're intentionally skewing it because they, in several ways. One is that they know there's a shy voter problem, but they're not fixing it. They don't care about it. They hope there's a shy voter problem.
Well, how did the people in London or in Britain with the Brexit issue, which they blew the just as bad as they did here? How do those guys have any idea that 2 million people who haven't voted in 10 years are going to all of a sudden get off their dead ass on the sofa and walk down and vote? How would you ever know that as a pollster?
Well, because you would hear about it. You would look at this and go, okay, everything's pointing in this direction, but we're hearing anecdotally that we've got an issue with people who are not giving us true answers. So we need to account for that.
I'm going to say, Lou, that as much as I'm with you and how bad it turned out, as a matter of fact, the money line, Jeff was on the other day, and the money line was just as bad. These are people putting their dough on the line for the elections, and people are gambling on it. Money line was almost as bad as a pollster. I think you and I probably, if we got the 10 polls in front of us, and not that we have the time, but if somebody were to come on the show from one of the poll places or two of the poll places and tell us their methodology, we'd know in a second how they screwed up.
I suspect, as I said, that this was not a scroll. Hindsight would have told us that. I suspect, as I said, this was not a screw up, in the sense that we really didn't know what we were doing. If it is a screw up, then it reflects an incredible lack of ability on the part of people who have, in many cases actually been pretty good in terms of being able to give us the temperature of the population. And,
in order for us to really, well, we can criticize the result. I mean, but that we can do because it's right in front of our face. But in order to criticize, I mean, I'll use an example. If somebody comes in with a really horrible estimate and repaving 4 miles at a Dan Ryan, I mean, you and I, even though you're an attorney, you know, attorneys aren't quite as good as numbers as other people, we'd probably sit down and say, okay, Joe, how did you come up with this really horse bleep estimate? Did you try and calculate, let's see, you got 5 miles of concrete by X number of feet wide by X number of inches deep. That's 90 bazillion yards of concrete times $15 a yard. Well, there's your concrete. Oh, no, I didn't do anything like that. What do you mean you didn't? You know, well, there's supposed to be a certain amount of rebar per foot. That's how much a foot. How'd you look at that? I didn't pay attention to that either. Well, somewhere along the line, Lou, we're going to say, no wonder, Joe, you screwed this up, you moron.
I'm not so sure that I know the right...
I guess what I'm saying is I don't know right now the right way to do a poll in today's world.
My point is that I would argue that the reason they screwed that Joe gave you that or used that incompetent estimate is not because Joe's incompetent, but because Joe wanted a certain result. And then you go back. So you start with the result you want, and then you work your way back through your process to make sure that that's what you get. As opposed to, and that's I absolutely believe that that's what was going on with the polling. You know, they said.
You think that's what was going on with all the studies funded by American Airlines and how safe it is to ride in a plane with COVID?
I haven't seen that study, but it wouldn't surprise me that you know, I think rather than using that example, because I don't know that one, I would use the example of, we know cigarettes are safe to smoke.
Yeah. Harvard and about three other places, American Airlines, they funded them all, and Harvard at the top of their report said, by the way, you have no idea how much we valued independence on this one, even though we're getting paid by American Airlines. I'm going, yeah, right.
No, I don't. I happen to think that it's probably, for the average person, it's probably reasonably safe to fly on American Airlines with a full-seated aircraft, as long as you're changing the air regularly. But that's just me. There were a couple of other things about the election that I wanted to just touch on, and one of them I was listening to as I was driving around yesterday. Listening to talk radio chattering about the fact that, you know, the president should just, you know, get himself above the fray here, stay above the fray, not fight every vote, not fight every contest, and just let the process play out and accept the results gracefully. And I thought, as I was listening to that, and this guy was. Didn't sound like he was particularly political, although he lives in New York, so I'm sure he is, or I can guess what his affiliation is. And I just thought to myself, how on earth have could you think that, or could you think that that was going to be something that an individual should do, given what's happened over the last three or four presidential elections, maybe five presidential elections that we've had and in the last 20 years, and that somehow you would get brownie points for acting, quote, gentlemanly or respectfully at this point in the process. And I recall the example I always use when my friends of the opposite political persuasion say, you know what, you know, so-and-so's acting, and Trump is acting this way, it's terrible, it's undignified, et cetera, et cetera. I always use the example of Mitt Romney in 2012. And I said, you know, you had a guy in Mitt Romney in 2012 who was a nice guy, who was a gentleman, who had an absolutely spotless record as a politician, as a person, et cetera, and he was smeared as a homophobe, as a racist, as a misogynist, and as, you know, it's going to be the end of all things that are good and clean and pure if this guy gets into the White House. And I tell them, once you do that to somebody like Romney, you pretty much send the message to the rest of us that it doesn't matter who we are and it doesn't matter how we act. We're going to get tarred with this, you know, this political brush. And so if you're going to act that way with people who are manifestly qualified and manifestly decent, then what's the point of not playing hardball at every turn? When I litigate cases, if I've got an attorney on the other side who, no matter what we do, acts, you know, in a quote hardball fashion, delays, calls us names in pleadings, says terrible things about us, then I have absolutely no incentive to act in a dignified way, accept or act in a way that stays above this stuff, unless I think it's going to benefit me with the judge or a jury, but mainly with the judge. And you know, this, the groundwork for the kind of fight that we're going to see over the next 2 months was laid, has been laid for the last, well, I'd say the last 40 years with Reagan and maybe with Ford, but with Reagan especially. And at this point, you know, it's going to be scorched earth. And I'm sorry to say it. I understand why. I'm not sure that we're looking at massive ballot fraud, but in the sense that Trump has had lots of lessons beforehand on what happens when you act like a nice guy or you act like a dignified political.
When has he ever done that in his entire life?
Well, but that's my point. That's why he became the candidate in 2016. And I've said this on the show. You know, at some point, the Republican electorate said to itself, as a group, enough people said to themselves, I'm tired of trying to elect, you know, reasonable, competent people, respectful people. Because when I put them up there, I end up with them being called stupid, evil, incompetent, you know.
Well, you can't just roll with that as a Democratic thing. I mean, that's what Bush did to McCain, for God's sake. They're both Republicans.
I don't think Bush did that to McCain, but Trump did it to McCain.
No, Bush's people buried McCain in that Super Tuesday
because he is talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, no,
I don't think,
no, no,
I don't think I Bush agree. Himself did it. I think actually Bush is a pretty decent sort. I don't think he did it, but the people who gave him money sure as hell did.
I understand that. It at some point all of this gets down to Chicago, what I call Chicago style politics, and that great line, and I have used it over and over and over again in my discussions with friends here. Politics ain't beanbag. I don't know whether it was Royko who quoted somebody saying that, but it is where we are now. And so we end up with a candidate who basically I don't know if Maddie remembers this, I referred to him as Captain Underpants during the primaries.
That's right.
We end up with a candidate who basically is a bomb-throwing lunatic. So you get him into office. He faces a coup attempt right out of the gate, an ongoing phony investigation into his supposed dealings with Russia. He gets impeached over a Ukrainian phone call with Ukraine that is absolutely within the normal limits of the kind of international diplomacy that a president does. And moreover, as it turns out, because Hunter and Joe were engaged in God knows what in Ukraine, it turns out he was absolutely correct in asking for the investigation.
Well, we're talking about an investigation. You can heap all the crap you want on Mueller. The simple fact is an awful lot of guys around Trump went to jail. His personal attorney went to jail. But I'm with you.
Not for anything. related to that.
I understand. But what I'm saying is the allure of Trump, and again, I think I've been, matter of fact, at a point where I've gotten nothing but tweets and emails saying, what the hell, is a sheep becoming a Trumpy? I absolutely understand, I think I do, try and understand, the allure. And Newt Gingrich probably said it perfectly day one. It's a continuation of the Obama situation. The people in Washington have no idea how much they have screwed the average American, the middle class.
Exactly.
And how much people absolutely hate the people there. They tried it with Obama, good-looking African-American, bright guy, good family, the whole nine yards. They thought he was...
potential president-elect, a guy who was clean, articulate, and African-American, to quote Joe Biden.
Yeah. I mean, but he came in there and he was co-opted so fast. You know, people said, well, that doesn't work. Even a first-term senator isn't good enough. We want somebody from the outside who realizes, is not afraid to say it, what a bunch of crooks all these people are, and he wants them the hell out of there, clean out the swamp. Of course, his personality didn't allow him to do the job properly. I mean, he made enemies of everybody along the way, which made it worse because he had a bunch going in there to start with. But he had no ability to get anybody on his side. He had no ability to negotiate, no ability to do anything. So that's a problem. Well, I mean, instead of ingratiating himself to the press or somebody even a little bit, he managed to make it worse. You know, you can't fight fire with gasoline, which is what he did.
I agree. Of course, and I've said this before. That's exactly what he was elected to do. I think.
Well, but you got to be effective. You can't just be a big mouth.
Chief, he was effective. He's been effective with respect to the things he said he was going to try to do. And I mean, to the extent that Congress has let him do it, he's pushed the immigration issue to the forefront. He's worked on putting his wall up. He didn't get it built, but he's worked on putting it up. He's pushed the immigration issue to the forefront and caused a bunch of. I think his superpower is in pushing this stuff. He causes people to reveal themselves, and you and I have talked about this before too.
Yep.
He has revealed or caused people to reveal a lot about what is happening behind the scenes in Washington, and none of it, as far as I'm concerned, is pretty. Let me throw one point out.
Lou, we got to go to break. I'm way over break time. I'm supposed to be watching the clock here. SP futures up 60. That's it. Futures up 299. W's up 375. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Sharks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, North Bay Stocks and Jacks, not Tamale, Mr. Matt Weber, Mr. Lou Michaels. S&P futures up 60. No, this is not me giving the Monday report or the Tuesday report or the Wednesday report. This is today, 4 days in a row. S&P futures up 60, Dow futures up 382, NASDAQ futures up 300. Everything is so much better now with Biden going to win by one electoral college vote by my count. We'll see. Around the rest of the world, we're helping everybody out. We've got the DAX up 187 at 20.5%. FTSE up 13.2%, not so much there. Back around at 45.9%. Britain, they've extended their coronavirus furlough program until the end of March, whatever that is. They've got issues, as do we. Over in Asia, Nikkei up 410, that's 1.7%. Shanghai up 42, 1.3%. Hang Seng up 809, that's 325. Now, they weren't up yesterday, they were actually down yesterday. Making up for that. Yesterday, we were up 357 in the Dow, 74 in the S&P, and 430 in the NASDAQ. We're almost becoming play money numbers here. The Fed, I think, we'll get the money supply numbers this week. I think they're going to be shocking, but we will see. A 10-year yield, 0.74, like I said the other night, we were at 0.95, where some huge injection of money came in here. The Bund, minus 0.63, so that's not moving anywhere. The Japan, positive 0.01. We got oil. Oil can't get out of its own way, down around 35 cents, 38.80. Brent at 40.98, minus 25 cents. Natural gas up 6 cents to 311, RBOB 109. We've got gold up 26 bucks to 1922. Silver up 87 cents, 24.76. Copper down a penny, 309. I think what's going on with the money and what's going on with this stuff is appalling, but nobody cares. The market's up. Maybe we got more Strebby Weather Sports.
42 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We're very quiet, Chief, on the area expressways and tollways. No accidents to report on any of the area expressways, so enjoy a nice, quiet Thursday morning commute. One crash off the expressways is out in the northwest suburbs. Medina Road at Elgin O'Hare Expressway, there is a crash. But that happened a little bit ago, and that's almost clear. So no resulting congestion from that. Weather today, another beautiful day as we continue this great stretch of weather here for November. Partly cloudy skies with a high of 68. It'll be in the low 70s out in the suburbs. Right now it's clear and 58 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy with a high of 97 today. Right now it's clear and 60. In sports, college football last night, NIU lost big to Buffalo, 49-30. And Thursday night football in the NFL will kick off tonight at 7:20 p.m. Chicago time on Fox, and it'll be the Green Bay Packers at the San Francisco 49ers. Chief.
That should be a good one.
Yeah, although the Niners have a little bit of a COVID hit, so they got at least four guys out tonight. Plus, Garoppolo can't get over this high ankle sprain, so he's out tonight as well. So the 49ers are rolling out a skeleton crew.
It's going to be.
You going to get the call to play quarterback?
I don't think so.
It's going to be interesting to see how these younger players in the NFL. I mean, one of the things that is happening is that the and we're seeing this in Denver too. As people get sick, you have the normal run of injuries, and I don't know if it's worse this year or not. But as people get sick, these clubs are reaching down into an expanded practice squad and an expanded group to pull people up and put them on the field. And it's interesting to see that play out, and you wonder if we're going to see people being developed who might not have been developed. We're seeing the same thing, by the way, at or an interesting variation of this at Air Force. Obviously, I follow their football team, and roughly half of their defensive unit and most significant number of their starters on defense were allowed to withdraw from the academy for a semester with the expectation that they would be playing football in the spring and would get an extra year of eligibility or an extra semester of eligibility. And of course the Mountain West Conference reversed itself, and so Air Force is having to pull up a bunch of younger players from its from its depth chart, guys who probably would not have been on the field for another year, and suddenly throw these kids into starting roles as freshmen and sophomores. And it's a really interesting process, and you just wonder what kind of long-term benefit the program is going to get, or long-term detriment these programs are going to get from putting in people that they might not normally have played in a situation like this.
Well, Lou, it seemed I think you're only going to have there's only going to be a few Mike Trouts around and Babe Ruth and those kinds of people, but you saw that in baseball this year. I mean, some of the teams that really had to drag people up from AAA almost didn't miss a beat. Cincinnati, St. Louis was the one that had the one weekend series where they had like two or three doubleheaders and they played 40-some people or some. Maddie knows the numbers better than me. You know, they were pretty competitive. I mean, it wasn't like they were horrible. And
I think that's one of the big revelations.
Well, I think if you have look at this guy in Tampa Bay that came kind of as a throw-in on a trade from St. Louis. I mean, a lot of these teams. I mean, I read somewhere, and you know better than me, that the hardest thing in the world is to scout yourself, to know how good some guy is that you never quite get let in.
Right.
We had a guy.
Right.
A guy you only see in
practice. But in keeping with our sports theme, because we always try to throw, I always want to throw a sports segment in here, I wanted to mention another issue that's bubbling below the surface, and that's what's happening with the NBA. They are looking at starting the NBA season in December and trying to get the full 72 or whatever it is games in.
82.
In this season. And I don't... It's really interesting that, of course, the players are kind of saying, wait a minute, we literally just finished, and we need more time, and,
Well, some did. The Bulls could start. Maybe they could start with
right.
the teams that
the
didn't
Bulls
make the playoffs.
That's right. The Bulls could start right away. But to the extent that you've got superstars on these clubs who are saying, we don't want to do this, it's too soon, it's too much, we got to give our bodies some rest time. The owners have the ability. There's a every collective bargaining agreement contains language like this, but especially in the sports business, contains a force majeure clause, and if the owners and I believe that the NBA CBA clause is a force majeure is pretty draconian in that it gives the owners a lot of leeway with respect to whether they even have to pay the clubs, or pay the athletes. I mean, the contracts are guaranteed, but a force majeure situation can typically void all of that. And so this would be sort of a classic force majeure circumstance where the government is doing things that nobody can anticipate. It varies wildly from place to place. And so you could see the owners saying, you know what, we're gonna call this. We're voiding these contracts. We're gonna shut the league down for a year because our star players don't want to play. In some cases, it'll be better for us if we don't have these operating expenses, and we can void our contracts with stadiums. We can void our contracts with communities and with our players, and just shut the thing down. Because if the players don't want to play, if they're saying we're not doing this, then this really is a way of putting the owners back on top in what has been a very much a player-driven league for the last couple of years. And so I'll be very interested to see how that plays out, and whether that economic reality has dawned on the Players Association.
Well, I think that basketball, and I'm going to go down the line too much here because they'll say I'm politically incorrect again. Somehow or another, when I used to love to watch basketball, if the Bulls played, in Kansas City, KC Omaha Kings, they had Tiny Archibald, they had a really good center, they were a solid team. The Bulls had Chet Walker, they had Jerry Sloan, they were Norm Van Leer, they were a solid team. It was good basketball. Now, and it was worth going to watch, even though neither team, well, the Bulls came close a couple times, but neither team really ever made it, they were never the Celtics. Yet it was good stuff, and every team, had a couple of players that were, and the other people, filled in around them. Like I said, it was pretty good basketball. And now all of a sudden you've got this view. This is the basketball players now, the top 10 stars, they feel like they're Jeff Bezos, for God's sake. They don't care if the other teams play. We're at a point now where you could start a playoff every year as long as those 10 or 20 people in there. The TV ratings are probably the same. I don't know how good they were this year. Many would know. But, nobody really cares if the Bulls play, New Orleans or someplace. And maybe not even the Bulls. So the league, it's gone into this. LeBron, he's so far away from an average player and an average team, and he believes it. And so do these other guys. Maybe the other guy's worse than him because he at least has some common sense. But that league is a league to me. It looks like it's damn near folding.
Yeah. Let me throw this out, and I would, Maddie may have a good insight on this. As an NFL player agent, one of the things that I was appalled at was how badly most of the players, not all of them, but most of the players understood their CBA and understood the economics of the sport in which they were participating. I was actually astounded at how many of them did not understand the sort of the basics, at least as reflected in the way the union operated. The union guys understood it, but communicating it to the rank and file, I get the impression that the NBA players at the top, James and a number of these other guys, have a very good understanding of the economics of their league, and a very good, that's one of the reasons why they bow to China so much, and a very good understanding of the economics of these games and what the owners are looking at. They may not have any empathy for them or sympathy for them, but I think they have a very good understanding of it at the top of the.
They have a very good understanding of how it relates to them and how the sponsorships and all the other stuff. And LeBron is very aware of that, as was Michael Jordan before him.
But the point is, the league is,
and Bill Wrigley said it better than me all. If basketball is not the product, if your stars are the product or winning is the product, you need to have interest when Detroit plays, Buffalo or someplace, if Buffalo even has a team. If you don't, what's the point of having a league?
Right. Well, I just my impression again is that the top players in the league have a very good picture of how the sponsorships, the marketing, the revenue flow from China and from Europe and other places, how all that affects their bottom line. I didn't see the stars in the NFL, the people who are really good in the NFL. I did not see them speaking out on these kinds of topics the way I see James or Curry or some of these other folks who seem to, at least from what I read, seem to have a fair amount of insight into the business operation.
Well,
and business model.
Even though you guys are big fans of these people in football, because you wear a helmet, if it wasn't for State Farm commercials, you wouldn't even know what these guys look like.
Do you realize, like, Tom Brady, who has been the face of the NFL for 20 years, has a million Twitter followers. Do you realize LeBron James has 48 million Twitter followers?
Yeah, that's what
they're not even on the same planet.
That doesn't change, and I would expect I guarantee you, if LeBron James only had a million, LeBron James would be figuring out a way to expand it. I don't think Brady cares.
That could be. The NFL, though, doesn't market its players. They market the gambling and the fantasy, so you can watch every team play, and you don't care about the players because players get hurt so much. They rotate in and out. Seattle brought in a fourth-string running back on Sunday, and he looked like Eric Dickerson out there. And you're like, where the hell was this guy? Because it doesn't matter. You can just plug guys in, and if the offensive line is good and the quarterback is good, then you can run the ball. The NBA, ever since the mindset changed, in my opinion, 10, 15 years ago, where people stopped caring about a competitive team and either said it's championship or bust, that's when it really sort of changed the league and people stopped caring about teams altogether and just started rooting for players. And it actually goes
back before that, Matty. And again, as I said, I don't think a lot of NFL players understand what you just said. But it goes back before that. You watched The Last Dance. I mean, one of David Halberstam's, and I'm surprised I didn't interview him for The Last Dance, but one of David Halberstam's comments when he wrote that book about Jordan and the Bulls was that Michael Jordan consciously, and Stern was in on this, consciously changed the nature of the NBA. And he was the guy who drove it from a team league to an individual player league. But you're exactly correct. That change has reworked fundamentally the economics of the league and how it's marketed and how much power these players have in terms of their CBA. I'm just saying that within the NFL, there's not an understanding of, I've never heard a player express what you just expressed in the NFL, who said, listen, we tend to be anonymous behind those helmets. We tend to be fungible. We can be switched in and out. And whatever star power we've got and that we can market, we tend to market in a group. That, by the way, is one of the reasons why the collective bargaining agreement, when it was revised in 93 and you started seeing real negotiating power, the CBA was revised so that the union had access not to individual players' marketing contracts, but only when they were marketing in a group. So if it was like more than five players clustered together or came together as a marketing group, then the union was able to get a big chunk of that action and control that. And because the union recognized that as individual players, their marketing value was greatly limited.
Well, I mean, it's not like it's new. I mean, when the Bears signed Red Grange, the first thing they did was go on a barnstorming to him and make money. Yep. And the headline wasn't Chicago Bears come to Centralia. It was Red Grange and the Chicago Bears come to Centralia. But it's not like it's new.
No, but it's Maddie is exactly right about the nature of the league and the nature of helmets. And I've heard a number of other sports commentators, you know, Simmons and Kornheiser and Wilbon and these people talk about this issue, that it's hard for individual football players to make money to the same extent that it is for the basketball players because they're anonymous behind the helmets. I mean,
it's also, no matter how much of a star you are, I mean, you could put, you know, Babe Ruth on the 50s Cubs and the Cubs don't win anything. I mean, it's one of nine. Plus your pitcher, you could be Bob Gibson, and you only see every 4 or 5 days, right? I mean, so it's just different. I mean, LeBron can be on TV twice a week. He's the face of the NBA, and they can't wait to get him on there. They're trying to do the same thing with Mahomes.
And you don't have to keep track of as many people on a basketball team as you do on a football team.
Right,
Chief makes.
Hey, look,
we
got 2 minutes here. The way I'm reading this, and Maddie's been looking at this more than me. It looks to me that if Biden wins Nevada, he's got 270. Now, he might lose one of the ones in Maine and pick up one of the ones in Nebraska. Am I reading this? So all the states that Trump has the biggest problem in, which seems to be Pennsylvania, he's going to win anyway. So, I mean, when he's going to the Supreme Court right now, where is he going to go? He's going to win. North Carolina, Georgia, and Pennsylvania.
I think Biden's going to lose Arizona, and I think that's going to turn once those because Trump is gaining in Arizona as they count the absentee ballots. And by the way, this is another point I'm going to make. I think that the incompetence that you're seeing with these state officials on these absentee ballots is in part designed. I can't believe that you want Virginia or Michigan or Pennsylvania or Wisconsin that you want your ballot counting system to be as incompetent or that you're accidentally allowing your ballot counting system to be as incompetent as we're seeing.
Well, I'm saying it looks to me the biggest potential complaint from Trump, from what I'm reading, I'm asking, I mean, the biggest potential complaints are Pennsylvania, where he had the court case, are Georgia and North Carolina. It looks to me like he's going to win all three.
Well,
they'll go to complaints.
If he does win all three, that'll take care of that. But I do think if Arizona flips, and I think there's a good chance Arizona will flip. If Arizona flips, then Biden's back to the starting line.
Yeah. But right now, if you look at the way the map I'm having has Arizona, Nevada tentatively in Biden's camp. Well, Arizona, they got it for sure in Biden's camp. Like you, I'm not so sure it should be. But right now, he's 260. He's 264, and Nevada makes 270. Where's my math wrong?
Yep. No, it's not. That's right.
So that gives Trump all the states he's basically bitching about.
Correct. But I think what the Republicans are counting, their bean counters are looking at Arizona. And if they flip Arizona, that's a net swing of what, 22 votes?
No, they're not 22.
No,
it doesn't matter. If Biden's only got 270, it could be two.
They're 11. I think they're 11. And if it's,
no, they're
if
not.
They're 11,
they're bigger
it's
than Wisconsin.
No, Arizona is 11. That's right.
So it's a net swing of 22. Biden loses 11. Trump gains 11.
Right. Oh, there's no doubt. If Trump wins the ones I'm talking about, and Biden only wins the Nevada, and Arizona flips, then Trump wins.
Yeah, I think if Arizona flips, Trump only has to get maybe two of those.
Assuming he gets Arizona. Here's the place. The states I still have in play. Looking at the map, I got Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Nevada. And Trump's bitching the most about Pennsylvania and Georgia. If Biden wins Nevada, Trump can win all those other threes, take all his bitching with him, and Biden gets in by one stake and vote, is the way I got it figured.
Could be. One of the things that you're going to see, and then I'm going to let you go because I know we're running out.
Yeah.
One of the things you're going to see with this these challenges is just how awful these vote counting processes have been and just how incompetent they've been and how many activists are actually involved in doing the counting. And you're going to see a ton of irregularities because this process, like sausage making and legislation, was never meant to see the light of day.
Well, the absentee ballots, as little as 12 years ago, were people from overseas and some people had actually had to take a vacation. They were what?
Yep.
Half of 1% of that,
yeah.
A tenth of 1% of the number?
And that's why this whole absentee ballot thing was a disaster from the beginning and should not have been allowed. Because these states, I mean, the mail-in ballot here in Chicago is done in such a way that I get a text notice when my ballot is sent, and I get a text notice when my ballot is counted.
Chicago doesn't matter. But I mean, there are states where the Republicans decided there's one drop-off box in a county. I mean, both sides are doing their level best to screw the voter for the other side.
I'm just saying, Chief, that when they threw the absentee ballot expanded this huge absentee ballot process, the states that did it, that expanded it, were not prepared for what was going to happen. And this is all going to come out in these...
Well, they weren't prepared.
Challenges.
We got a dash here, but the states that are red weren't prepared for all the polling places closing in areas that they didn't think were going to vote for them. I mean, both of these sides should be tarred and feathered.
I'm not going to argue with you. I agree. I'm just pointing out we're going to see a lot of sausage making.
I'm saying the blue states did everything they could to get people to vote, whether they came out of the swamp or wherever they came from, and the red states did everything they could to stop people from voting. I mean, there's no doubt about that, Lou. The question is, in the end, did it really matter? Most people are saying it isn't. And the only place maybe it did is in Pennsylvania, and Trump's going to win that. So I don't know where his bitch is going to come from.
We shall see.
Yeah, well, it'll come from someplace. Lou, thank you very much. Where are we at? SP Futures still up 60. Be right back. The engineers.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Well, we're based back to Jackson. I'm Tom Allies. This is Matt Weber on the board. Give us a Dan Janitas, Freitas Capital, with us. SP Futures up 66. Dow Futures down 420. NASDAQ Futures 309. And I think Dan got the call the other night by the Treasury of the Fed in the middle of the night and has done rollicking well in the market in the last few days. And he's retiring and moving to Monaco. Is that true, Dan?
Partially true. I don't know about the part about Monaco, but we were well positioned for the last few days. We're able to take advantage of some of the upswing in the market here, but also be protected on the downside as well from some of this volatility, just as we anticipated this coming into the market. So on the bond side, as you know, rates have continued to track down. The push for yield continues to remain high. The dollar continues to weaken. The one call that we put on about a week and a half ago was silver, and we're quite pleased with that move now. And we think this is silver and gold and the metals and the commodities in general are good diversifiers. So we dialed up a little bit in that area, and that's worked well for us. And then we just stick to what we do best and, look for yield in, places that everyone else is not looking right now. Because it's becoming harder and harder to find.
Dan, how do you, you probably know more about what happened in the middle of the night the other night than anybody because you watch this stuff, a bigger firm, and you can watch this stuff all night, but what I see here, last week, who knows what caused sell up. And you never know what causes. I mean, the market does what the market does. But, and I had somewhat, somewhat thought that, yeah, we should probably, you know, enough was enough, and we should probably at least flatten out, which we pretty much did. Yet, I would say nowhere was I, and I'm kicking myself because I've seen it happen so many friggin' times. Whenever there seems to be a man behind the curtain, and somebody the other night took the spoos from 50 down and took the 10-year from 0.94, which it got up to, from what I understand,
right.
And drove it in the overnight section back down to 70-something. That kind of an injection by somebody. I mean, we can pander to our clients. We can say whatever we want about how much we knew the market was oversold, underbought, you name it. But the fact is, somebody decided market's going the other way and poured money in, whether it was several central banks, one. I mean, you and I don't just all of a sudden decide that the market's too low here and then turn the spoos around 150 points overnight. I mean, we can think we do, but we don't. Just saying.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, when it comes to when we're talking about the equity market, and especially when we're talking more about smaller cap names, we know that it's being driven predominantly by retail investors or money managers, maybe who focus on that, but it's not generally, we don't have these wide sweeping, moves in those areas of the market. But when it comes to treasuries, we do, and it did seem like it was a concerted effort, and it was a concerted effort that was showing that, you know, there was an expectation that grab this yield, grab as much yield as we can right now. I'm not sure where specifically it was coming from, but the movement, we anticipated these unexpected movements, if you will, during these couple weeks leading up to the election. So we kind of sat on the sidelines and just let the market do its thing, and we're actually able to benefit from that move, having, you know, obviously being invested in bonds. So these are the times when these movements happen that we really don't have any control over, that we just sit back and say we're glad we're well positioned. I mean, as a bond manager. I don't specifically know where the purchasing was coming from. It's clear that there's still there's sort of a combination of two things. It's the uncertainty that will always drive money to the higher quality. That is uncertainty around the world, and then there's also the search for yield, and the search for yield has become more and more and more difficult as time has gone on. So I think with the Fed meeting this afternoon, I'm not sure we're going to see a whole lot of action, but I think there's definitely, you know, it's in the background. The election's in the foreground today, but I think once the election subsides, the issue of where we stand in the government market and in terms of interest rates is going to come back to the foreground, and it could be an issue if this type of movement continues to happen. We start seeing negative rates.
When I started in the business, anybody, I mean, it was almost a laugher. The guys from the University of Chicago, and they were the market, not just the stock market, but the treasury market. The treasury market was king, and the view was from everybody that no matter who, I mean, whether you were, you know, the Hunt brothers, whether you were even the government, if you thought you were bigger than the market and tried to manipulate it for a bit, you'd get away with it for a while, depending on how big you were, but in the end, you would rue the day you tried it, because the market was stronger pretty much than anything. But you never had a situation where a Fed was going to go $7 trillion worth to try and prove you wrong. I mean, it just wasn't done. Well, now it appears to me to be there's really no limit to the largesse. And my question to you is, if the Treasury rate, the 10-year rate, given the fact that inflation is all over the place, in one man's opinion, and the money supply is up 25% in the last 12 months, that if the 10-year rate, I'm going to say, really ought to be, again, if left to its own devices, say 1.25, 1.5, 2, I mean, can the Fed continually keep it at 0.7? For how long? I mean, how many trillion dollars is it going to cost? And what happens when... If, can they do it forever, I guess, is question number one. And if they can't, what happens the day they screw up?
I mean, they can try, and I think the fact that we've seen some large, you know, some very large movements of money over the past year is an indication that they can do it. And again, the money coming from overseas, I think, is also very significant from European Central Bank. You know, Europe right now is also in a period of crisis that we're, you know, again, it's sort of being overshadowed by what's going on here with the election, but they're concerned about economic issues, coronavirus issues, and they're somewhat in our shadow, but they have enough capital, enough force to put a dent in our treasury market, and that's, again, it's a flight to capital. So that is not surprising to me at all that's where some of the money could be coming from now. I don't think the Fed is necessarily locked into a number. They usually are locked into a range, and if the range is 0.75 to 1.25, that's more likely. But I think there's also this confusion, this sort of layer of confusion with what's going on with the election right now and how that's going to impact it. The way we feel about it, the way I feel about it, is it's not going to have a major impact. With the Biden election, we're likely to have more of an impact on the dollar. And as I was saying earlier, looking at a weaker dollar, you know, you have to look at those investments that'll perform well in the short run, like silver and gold, which have actually had a nice rally in here. But this is not the time to be trying to look for a fixed income investment that's going to perform well. This is, if you're already in it, great, and you've made some money, great. But I would not play this market based on potential moves by the Fed, potential moves by other central banks. Fixed income is good long-term investing, and this is not the way to play the fixed income market. The way to play the fixed income market is to look for the yield. If you're going to stay in the government bonds, stay on the shorter side. I'd be under-allocated in treasuries right now, especially now that we've seen this movement downward. And I would look still at those corporate bonds and at those preferred stocks that we've spoken at that are going to give you a little more yield to make up for what you're not missing in the, what you're not getting in the government market. So earlier this week, I had a client that was, we were talking about, cash rates, and we predominantly use Interactive Brokers, and for the larger accounts, they're paying 1.1%. And we were looking at, you know, what everyone else is paying, and it's nowhere near that. And to think that 1.1% is actually not bad for idle cash, in an environment with the 10-year is at 0.7, that's a pretty good place to stay. So what you have is you can get whipsawed when you start going long. Movements can change day to day. They can be driven by politics. A lot of those, what have been, as you were alluding to earlier, traditional moves that we could anticipate in the past, or we knew that there was at least a level where that they would stop. Right now, we're not sure about that. So, at least in the short run, I'd say sit on the sidelines. Don't try to make money in this kind of volatility. You can make money in the volatility. We have plenty of other opportunities to make money in volatility, but playing the government market right now is not the way to do it. Not if you're a long-term investor.
Well, I want to dig into some more of what you're saying, because I find it very interesting. I just, because you're closer to this action, if these guys come through with a stimulus program or whatever the hell it is, and the Fed just says, you're on your own, go borrow the dough, what do you suppose the interest rate is that people have to, that the government, the Treasury, will have to pay if the Fed says, we're not helping you?
It's certainly going to be higher. If you want to look at the 10-year, I want to say the rate's going to stay in that range of 75 basis points to 125. It's a little tricky when we're starting to get into if there will be a move or not be a move. I think we're going to need, even though today is the day, I think we're going to need another month at least before we have a better idea of what's going on big picture. I think we've got a pretty good idea of what's going on in Congress, but I think once we have a clearer indication of what's going on with the presidential election, I think we're going to, you know, I can answer that question a little bit easier. But for the time being, I would not be trying to bet on what the Fed is, you know, I wouldn't want to be trying to make that decision. Is it going to be, you know, what are they going to have to pay right at this moment? So that's,
well, it just, to me, I've been reading Dan again, and you know, I know I'm a little more cynical than some. I just, the other day I was reading off, I don't know who was on the show, Monday, so it might have been Frank. I was reading off a list of all the massive checks that were written to Biden from, like, former executives of Google and all those kinds of people.
Oh, yeah.
And if you look at the rally of the last 3 days, now that he, well, if they think he's in, I don't know. I give him a 75% chance about being in, but say he's in, every single one of those stocks has done nothing but lead the market the last 4 days. I mean, if you're any kind of a person that says this is really screwed up, I mean that it's the thought of him piling out of this, and the first thing he does in January is go after these firms is so far away from. I mean, no matter what it is, these guys will pay for the people in there, and you get people saying, "Well, geez, he's going to put Elizabeth Warren as the Secretary of the Treasury," and I'm thinking, he just got a $100,000 check from the former president of Goldman Sachs. But we've had, what, three Goldman guys in a row as Secretary, Treasury Secretary? Did we just insure the fourth? I mean, is this ever going to become a fair game, Dan, or what? I mean, you and I think are smart enough to play within the rules and do okay for our clients, or maybe better than okay. But, I mean, really, it's a progression from when I started just more and more locked into people, you know, individual people controlling the markets. I mean, it's weird to me. It doesn't matter if it goes up and you're long for your clients or goes down and long for your or short, right? I mean, that you and I just have to look at different things. But if you're a purist, you look at it and you go, I don't know where we're going with this. So you give me one comment on that, and let's talk about some individual stuff that you're good at that.
Yeah, I think certainly if there's talk around about having someone like Warren in a position that could be I don't know if I necessarily want to use the word scary, but could be concerning for those of us who have been in the investment management business for a long time, because we certainly want someone who's going to be more moderate in that position. We really don't want politics to be playing, even though they do. We don't want them to be really playing as big a role as they could. So I think that uncertainty is part of what has shaken things up recently. And it's more, the feeling I'm getting, and again, this is kind of more based on gut and just watching the markets lately and just having the experience of having watched the markets for a long time, both on the fixed and the equity side. The feeling that I'm getting is kind of stay on the sidelines for a little while. This mess will get worked out. And we're not going to be too far apart from where we were prior, and we may actually be in a better position in some areas, whether it be areas like trade or rates or, energy may actually, even with the Biden win, this morning I was doing some analysis, and energy could actually do quite well. So some of the energy names that we have, for example, the bonds that we've talked about, Southwestern, we really don't see a worst-case scenario for those bonds. So regardless of who wins the presidential side, I think the Congress is going to kind of keep things at bay in terms of having any extreme movements. And I mean movements that would shift assets away from some of the energy companies or shift assets towards other areas that we're not quite ready to deal with right now. So I think there's going to be an evening out, if you will.
When you say energy, I mean, the ones that you zero in on are clearly natural gas. I mean, you haven't, I mean, I think purposely, I'll just ask the question, is there any place at all for oil?
We had positions in oil. We had a pretty good-sized position in Nabors. Nabors is a driller that, sort of had its time. I'm not sure, what the future looks like for Nabors, but I do know that sector is doing surprisingly well. And there's a lot of news that's going on behind the scenes that's not really getting published in that sector. There's because there's such an overwhelmingly large cloud across that sector, people don't realize that rig count is up Rig count is actually up a lot more than anticipated. They haven't had to lay as many people off. There are new, there are rigs that are going up in new locations that have been shut down for periods of time. There's activity. There's actually price increases in some areas as well. So there are some positive developments there, and I don't think a Biden win is going to stop that. I don't think it's going to hinder it.
I'm looking at the oil prices every morning. I'm not as into this oil market as you are, and under $40, I guess I'm questioning why the hell are so many rigs out there. I mean, it seems like the oil itself can't get out of its own way. Is anybody thinking 45 or 50, or all of a sudden $40 is good enough for these guys? I mean, what's the methodology there? It seems like.
Well, remember we were at 45 not too long ago. I mean, we were at 50 not too long ago. If you go back a year,
well, we were $42 10 days ago, right?
Right, exactly. So we're not too far away from that level. I think we want to base it partially on that, and we have to admit that there's going to be some cleaning up there. You know, there are rigs that are better than others. There are ones that are going to make it. There's ones that are more technically advanced. There are ones that are more are in higher demand right now. Activity has definitely picked up. The one part of the equation that we can't forget is Asia. So although we're seeing slowdowns in Europe, we're actually seeing forward movement in Asia, places like Australia and New Zealand and Taiwan that really, you know, have not had the same impact from the virus. China is moving along. We're seeing this forward movement, and I do think that's going to continue to increase demand. And the one thing we cannot do as investors is be myopic and just look at what's going on here in the United States, or what's looking, you know, years ago was what was just going on in the Northeast, and trying to base all our views on that. We really do have to look globally, and we really do have to pay attention to where the numbers are coming from and the demand is coming from. And it's not just optimism. I think what's happening is there's going to be demand coming. There's going to be a necessity to continue to oil. I don't know what the time frame is, but if you look at it in terms of bonds, holding 1 or 2 year bonds, short-term bonds, I think are going to be money good and probably be one of those places that you're going to be able to get a substantial yield advantage over what you're currently getting elsewhere. So that's,
well, I don't doubt that somebody who's got his nose to the grindstone can dig up, you know, a gas company or something like you have. But just in general, somebody sends me a scratch-o, shall we say, and I start looking for ETFs, I always, up until this year, maybe to my discredit, would put some percentage of that in the XLE. And yet,
yeah.
Boy, oh boy, I did it with somebody a couple of weeks ago because they thought maybe the oil, it felt sort of like you did. I mean, it's down so far, it's starting to look like up. But God bless, I mean, up a dollar, down two, up a dollar, down two. I mean, it looks like dead money, even though, and yet all these other places, or all this momentum plays where we can't wait to pay 200 times revenue for some
exactly.
other place. I mean, you look at, we were going through a lot of our accounts in one of the places I do some subcontracting for, and for a period of 2 or 3 years, the lady who ran the dividend piece, she did spectacularly. Not only were the dividends getting paid, but the stocks were doing real well. Now, every stock that has a dividend, you're locked into this, a lot of it's in the energy, a lot of these other areas, that has been the worst performer in anything. I mean, you're not even getting your dividend because the stocks are all down.
Right.
It's brutal. I think you're right, and you can identify individual companies is probably the first step. I don't know that I'm quite ready to just say the Exxon and the Schlumberger looks to me like, it looks like a dead dog. I mean, I wish it wasn't because I've had some people in there, but the Schlumberger, Chevron, Exxon, are they ever going to move? I mean,
what we're looking at, when I'm talking about energy, oil and gas energy, I'm talking about bonds.
Right.
So we're not seeing the opportunity on the equity side. So pretty much across the board, we've only been invested in the bonds. We have, we looked at some micro caps that were renewable type companies, but our main focus has been over the last decade in bonds that had yields that were, you know, superior, risk return that was superior to other fixed income investments. And frankly, one of the few places you could go as a high yield bond manager and still get some decent yield. So even up until today, and the timeline isn't over yet, I'm saying that bonds still look attractive, that there's still, you know, selectively you can find 5% for a 1 year bond, like Southwestern Energy. There are, you know, again, you want to look on the short end. It's a lot easier to manage your credit risk. And then when you're looking for other companies, if you're looking for yield outside of that, a few of the names that I've mentioned are ancillary names, but not necessarily energy names. So one of the names, Blue Knight, is the, it's an MLP, but it's a company that their big business is the storage of asphalt for construction. And I think regardless of who gets an office, infrastructure play is on. And these guys, I mean, I've noticed a lot more, a lot more construction, road construction. And, you know, you've got a BKE, PP is the ticker on this preferred, and you know, the dividend yield is 12.3%. So this is a company that's in a related industry. It's not a pure play on energy, but it's also a preferred stock. Now, when you talk about the common, we have stayed away in the energy sector from the common, whether it be one of the larger names, the go-go names in the energy sector, or even some of the smaller names. We don't have as much confidence in those names. But on the fixed side, I think there is still opportunity in the sector, and this is probably going to be the last area of opportunity for a while.
Well, Dan, just as we have to ask you in a second for the people listening, listeners, if the place starts to go downhill, and I'm not saying any of these will, the first thing that gets cut is the regular dividend on the common stock, correct?
Yes,
exactly. And then really probably way after that, people might not pay the preferred, and then only after that they don't pay the interest on the debt, correct?
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the capital structure. But in the cases of the ones that we're talking about, I'm talking about companies that have mandatory preferreds, so they're required to pay them like they would be a bond. So they're the dividends are generally paid quarterly, and they're generally paid on time. And so as opposed to having a cumulative or having one that's optional, we're doing our homework on the companies to make sure that they either have that mandatory clause or that they have the cash, so that they're not going to be put in a situation of having to cut the dividend, because, as you know, that's probably one of the worst things that can happen to a company.
Yeah. Are these things callable, most of them, or no?
There are some that are callable. The BK, the Blue Knight that I mentioned, is callable next December. So it matures like 3 months after that, but it's basically a 1 year with a 12.3, and I can tell you their operations and their management are superior. This is a really well-run company. It's just a smaller company. It's in an interesting industry with storage of asphalt. And it's also in an industry that's gotten pushed to the back a little because of the infrastructure. Anything to deal with infrastructure has not been in the forefront, but it is starting to come back. Again, it's one of those things that's not getting a lot of press right now. But this is a good name, a good solid company, good solid dividend, and a good way to get a little extra yield in a business that won't be directly impacted by any big picture energy, the big picture stuff that's going on in the energy.
Dan, thank you very much. But as usual, good stuff. Next week, maybe we'll have some actual. Maybe this whole mess will be cleared away, and we'll know who we have. I think we probably know who we have, but we'll see. I mean, who knows? We'll pick out some individual stuff next week, and we'll make some money. What do you think?
That sounds good to me. We will.
All right,
all right, have a good week. Bye.
SP Futures, I'm 62. We'll be right back. Mr. Frank Fahey.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know.
Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Right here, right now, right now. Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell, Mr. Weber on the board. S&P Futures up 62. We got to be up 60-something every day now. Dow Futures up 361. NASDAQ Futures up 309. We're celebrating. We're celebrating. DAX up 173, 1.4%. FTSE up 24. Point four is they've got some COVID issues. Back around up 43.9% over in Asia. Nikkei up 410, that's 1.73%. Shanghai up 42, 1.3. They must like Joe Biden. Hang Seng up 809, 3.2%. Just yesterday, Dow up 367, S&P up 74, and NASDAQ up 430, almost 4%. Whatever. I would love it to be up like this without anybody's interference. And I'd be the happy as a clam, but I just wonder how much interference we can take. And so far we've taken quite a bit. 10-year, 0.75. Not to be confused with the 0.95 it was the other night in the middle of the night before whosoever money came flying in to drive that back down. Bund, minus 0.62, which is where it's been forever, it seems. Japan, positive 0.02. Oil, down 30 cents, 38.85. Brent down 20 cents, 41.03. Natural gas up 1, 306. RBOB, unchanged at 109. Gold with a big rally, up 33 bucks, 1929. Heard Dan talking about that. Silver up a dollar, 1.0, well, $1.03 actually, 24.72. That's where that all is. Frank, how are you, bud? Oh, let's get traffic weather sports and Maddie first. Not much sports, Manny, but let's go.
There's not much. 37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We're quiet on the area expressways all morning. It's been quiet, so that's good news. Off the expressways, there's a crash on the south side. It says it's a multi-vehicle accident with three lanes blocked on Pulaski at West 83rd Street. So that's a concern down there. And then up in the northern suburbs, it looks like we have a crash at Route 120 at Almond Road, there's an accident. And then just west of there, there's a malfunctioning traffic signal at Wilson and Nipissing Road that's causing a bit of confusion. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, another beautiful day. Some clouds early, and then we should see sunshine with a high of 68. Right now it's cloudy and 59 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy with a high of 97. Right now it's clear and 61. In sports, college football last night, Northern Illinois lost a shootout to Buffalo. 49-30 was the final in that one. And Thursday night football in the NFL tonight will be Green Bay at San Francisco. That's a 7:20 p.m. Chicago time kickoff on Fox. Chief.
Maybe the Mac was not going to play, and then they ended up playing. Are they playing just people close? I mean, Buffalo's not that close. And what kind of season are they doing?
They're doing their full
full schedule, so you're playing, you know, just like all the other conferences, you're just playing your own conference.
Isn't Buffalo in the MAC now?
Buffalo is in the MAC, that's right. As far as the number of games they're playing, they are only playing a six-game season and then a seventh game for the championship.
Okay.
So well, same as like the Pac-12.
They got any fans?
I don't know if they have fans or not. They might.
You can ask that any season.
Yeah, I don't know if they have fans in general.
Well, do they? Well, that's. I think a lot of their revenue is actually paid fans. What's their TV contract? How good can that be?
Well, they have the ESPN contract because they're willing to play on off nights, like Wednesday nights and Tuesday nights, so people can bet on them and watch them as happened last night because there was nothing else on. So they do get some TV revenue with ESPN.
Okay, but they're not getting their obligatory get your ass kicked by Ohio State for $1 million game this year.
Nope, none of that, and probably either no fans or a very limited number of fans like everyone else.
The fans that don't pay.
Right.
Family, faculty, that kind of thing. Just very strange. So, Frank, we have government set us off, or somebody did the other night, and we're not looking back. What do you... We're up, 10% in 3 days, 4 days? That's a lot.
It's a lot, but it keeps on happening. That's following the biggest down week since March. Wasn't it?
Well, I think we've more than eclipsed that.
Yeah, well, I mean, do you believe it? That's I'm a
well, if you're
right
short,
now.
It's real.
Oh, but it is.
I mean,
it doesn't matter if you're ultimately right. It's when you're wrong in the interim that kills you.
Well, I mean, I can't believe the move the other night in the Treasuries from 0.95 down to 0.74 overnight. I mean, how much... I mean, when you have the somebody continuing to buy this 10-year note, and we don't know what the real rate is. I just, you know, whatever. I mean, we talked about it earlier. I don't want to beat it up, but I mean, when we started on the floor, Frank, we thought that nobody was bigger than the market. Clearly, the people running the Treasury and the Fed now are convinced they're bigger than the market. And when you're talking trillions of dollars, maybe they are. Now, is there no wall they're going to walk into someday? And what's it going to look like? I mean, to me, it's very bizarre. I mean, I just nothing in my training leads me to believe that this is a good idea. And yet, there's no way you can argue against them. But we're talking about a 25% to 30% money supply increase this year. So you're talking about if stocks go up 20%, it's only because the thing you're valuing them against is worth less. It's nothing to do with the stocks going up. Those particular ones. I mean, it's just, and yet individual people that are not seeing any sort of increase in their wages whatsoever and seeing nothing but, in my opinion, price increases go up. I mean, how much can you eviscerate your population to you know, for whatever a goal is? I mean, the poster child.
The goal is to get elected.
Well, but.
So they'll do anything to get elected, both sides.
Yeah.
And so the common good doesn't even figure into the equation.
Well,
and of course,
if you say
the common good, you're a commie anyway.
But where does the Fed and then the Treasury, where do they fit into this equation? I know where the Treasury fits. They work for the president, but the Fed allegedly doesn't. You won't possess
They've been threatened for 4 years, the Fed. You got to do this. You got to do that. I think a deal was cut a couple of years ago.
When he went to the White House for dinner and came out, I don't know if they waterboarded him there or what, but yeah, I mean, there's no doubt something happened. But I don't understand the move the other night. That's not affecting. Are we just trying to have stability so there's less riots? I mean, or the people, this benefits a small group of people. I mean, all these companies we're talking about. I mean, you can be in the ETF when they're in there. It's not like you as an investor can't. But it's really hard I can get people in the QQQs and I can do those kinds of things. But it's really hard for me to get somebody, a regular investor, to participate.
Into the rigged, the part of the game that's rigged? Yeah.
No, I mean, it's hard for me to have them buy Amazon, Google, something.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's very difficult for me to get involved in that group, and those are the guys that are going through the, and you look at the list of people who, you know, gave money to Biden's campaign, every one of those stocks is going to the moon. I mean, is it really that? I mean, I know it was always kind of, people could rig it, they could. People don't change. But is it getting that bizarre where you know, the Google's guy gives $4 million to Biden and all of a sudden there's no such thing as antitrust with Google for 2 years? I mean, what are they getting back for this? I mean,
you could say the thing about the past 4 years on these stocks. They went up, you know, an incredible amount before we had any idea who the Democratic candidate was going to be.
Well, that's right. But, this, as everybody's wailing and gnashing their teeth on the election, I think what you're finding out is, if you're willing to open your eyes, is it doesn't matter. These people have their spot, and it doesn't matter if you put Solomon in the White House, he can't change it.
Drew will never get elected.
Or he'll never get elected. Yeah, he'll never even come out of the group. I mean, clearly Biden is totally bought off, as were, you know, enough senators and other people. Even if Trump wanted to, if he had the brains to realize...
Everybody in the House is bought off.
Oh,
it costs millions to run for a House seat.
Well, that's right. And so the question is, are these guys going to take it to the extreme and screw everything for everybody? I don't know. Or just another trillion out there. I mean, they've gone way longer than I thought they could, Frank, to the point where I'm wondering if I'm just playing wrong.
I always wonder if I'm wrong.
Yeah, well, that's what traders are. You look in the mirror and you say, I really screwed this one up. Why wasn't I buying down 50 the other night and just getting one on vacation for 4 days?
It's Which means you never go that. On vacation and you perpetually burn out and make bad decisions.
Yeah, well, I never thought this is the same thing that happened 4 years ago. Right? Everything was going to be horrible if Trump got in and all of a sudden he gets in. The markets are down huge. Somebody buys a living bleep out it overnight, and we don't look back for a week. Is there somebody, you know, but the cash, I don't necessarily want people that we're employing to tell their buddies they're buying the market. And I mean, I'm going to say that the income gap, the wealth gap, expanded dramatically in the last 4 days.
Oh, and then even more over the past 7 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people are drawing down their 401ks and their savings to live.
Well, even people that have you look at the market and what's going up and what isn't with the COVID and who's making out and who isn't. I mean, it's spectacular. Of the people that have these vaccine companies, they were all up huge this week, probably up more again today. I mean, we've already given these guys $1 billion apiece. How much more do they need, Frank? I mean, how much more is Biden going to give them?
He hasn't given them anything yet.
Well, but obviously, I mean, they're anticipating he's going to. I mean, something's going on. Why were they all up, you know, 4%, 5%, and 10% in the last 2 days? There's no vaccine I've heard about. I mean, they all got their money. We read off the list 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
Yeah. All of a sudden, they're Amgen, AstraZeneca. Every one of them was up huge. Just Bristol, you name them. Every one of the ones that got money from the government, they're going to get more in this new package. Obviously, somebody knows already what's in the new package, and it's not you and me.
Well, we could start with Jared and the Munchkin.
Well, I mean, but obviously, the games are not going to stop under Joe. Joe was there for 40 years.
They don't stop under anybody.
No.
Because, you know, somebody like Mnuchin is going to let other people outside of his Republican circle know, because he has to play the game. Once Trump is gone, or once that administration's gone, he has to have those connections. You know,
well,
when
right.
Jane Byrne used the term cabal of evil men, you can see
well,
why
there was,
people...
There was a chance, albeit a small one, because of his personality, of Trump actually being a reform candidate. There's zero chance that Biden is. He's been there 40 years. I don't even know... I mean, I'm not so sure where, whenever I think of Biden, and again, I hope, you know, if the guy wins, I mean, he's going to be our president, and I guess I'll roll with it, but what else can I do? But it makes me think of the, The people on the trading floor used to say there's three kinds of people in the world. You know, some people make things happen, some people watch things happen, and the rest wonder what happened. And I'm going to say I got Joe somewhere between two and three. Did he ever make anything happen? Did he? I mean, the thought of him all of a sudden becoming this reformed candidate, which takes on antitrust and
I don't think he ever said he was taking on antitrust, did he?
I'm saying he hasn't said he's going to do anything except pour more money towards whatever infrastructure.
Nice.
You what?
And he's going to be nice.
Yeah,
he's going to do it, you know, truth, justice, and the American way.
American way is to sit there in the Oval Office and watch the entire city steal money from the populace. That's the American way, now? I think it is.
Which city?
there's more money stolen in Washington than anywhere else. There's more money that's stolen in Washington than anywhere else.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. But it's, you know, it's just handed out to other people to steal.
When you start talking about a billion something for everyone, for seven different vaccine manufacturers, and they don't even have a vaccine, that's a lot.
Not really. Not if they're working on the vaccine. We need a vaccine. And if we get one, it's going to be a huge difference. You know, polio had, too.
I'm going to say that right now, from what I understand, I've talked to a bunch of people, the virus appears to be weakening, and it's all over the place. It just seems becoming much more virulent, but people aren't as sick, but it's all over the place. The thought of having a vaccine, to me right now, is like having a vaccine for the common cold. It's not going to happen. I hope I'm wrong.
What's to keep it from mutating in the other direction?
Well, what's the cause of measles mutating? Anything can mutate.
Was measles a virus?
I
don't know. Okay.
But I'm saying, the idea, I mentioned one of my clients called and he said that his family's from Grand Rapids. And evidently, is it Pfizer? Has a huge place in Grand Rapids. And that somebody went out and tried to buy some concrete. And they couldn't buy concrete because all the concrete for like a week or two, Pfizer's putting together some massive cooler for a couple hundred million vaccine doses that they're making. And they're building this building. They need all this concrete so they can keep it all cool. So good luck if you want to buy a yard of concrete for your driveway in Grand Rapids. Could that possibly be true?
Could be. Ozenga can only deliver so much. You know, they do have a capacity constraint, or any concrete person.
You know, I tried to get one of those guys on from Ozenga, and never really, because they went out and bought all those natural gas-powered concrete trucks a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to figure out whether they were really good investments for them or not. I bet they were.
There was tax ramifications on it, too.
Well, you know what you needed, though, is if you want to, you can't just hook them up to the line from your stove, right? You needed to spend a lot of dough and essentially the parking lot, because you needed a massive gas line to fill up, you know, 20 of those tanks every night.
Speaking of massive gas lines, 130th and 80th,
yeah,
and 127th are all closed. I can't get to downtown Palos sites, and it's for some sort of pipeline going underneath the electrical lines.
Well, how long can you not go anywhere? Maybe it's just
until
part of
the 11th for another week.
I think they're just boxing you in, Frank.
They could be corralling me.
Yes. Okay. So it looks to me like Maddie knows more about the other two, but it looks like that if Biden wins Nevada and he hangs on to Arizona, he gets exactly 270. Now,
yep.
Maddie, isn't there some story that one of the districts in Maine voted for Trump? You know, the state's blue.
Yeah, that's already factored in. The Maine for Trump and the Nebraska for Biden, that 1 point, because they do it by district. So that's already factored in.
That's a wash.
It all comes down to, you know, everyone, not everyone, but a lot of places, including Fox News, have called Arizona for Biden. And he has a 68,000 vote lead with, you know, 90-some percent reporting or 89% reporting or something like that. Assuming he hangs on to Arizona, then it comes down to Nevada. If he wins Nevada, it's over. Even if Trump wins Pennsylvania and makes his lawsuit pointless, it's over. Now, if he doesn't win Nevada, or if Arizona flips back to red, now we really have an issue here, because then it's going to come down to Pennsylvania, these last few votes. It's going to come down to, you know, recounts, I assume, in Nevada and in Arizona. And potentially 84%. Wisconsin.
Every percent increase in reporting.
Well, isn't there some issue with Georgia? Georgia's still not totally decided either, right?
No, because only, there's 2% left, and every percent move in reporting has been 18,000 to 19,000 votes for Biden, and he's only down. So it's 2% going to take him up 20,000.
But I'm going to say that if he wins Nevada, I use the term cleanly, then it's 270, and it's the rest of the stuff. I mean, Trump can fight about the other three, but he already won them.
Yeah, Nevada, though, is nerve-wracking just because what I'm
saying. The Trumpsters, the Trump demonstrators are saying stop the vote, and in Phoenix they're saying every vote counts. No, right. Come on.
Which, that is funny. Yeah, that part's funny, but looking at Nevada right now, this is what we have today, and obviously they're going to have a huge dump that comes later today. Because they didn't count anything yesterday. And it's 6 electoral votes, so it would put them right at 270, assuming Arizona doesn't flip back. They're saying it's 75% reporting. That's it. And Biden only has essentially a 7,500 vote lead right now with 75% reporting. So now, if a lot of those are mail-in ballots, then people typically think they're going to be more for Biden than Trump. But, you know, who knows? So that's going to be big.
So do you think there's any chance that if Nevada comes in, that this thing is somewhat over today? Or, I mean, Trump is kind of...
No.
He's going to demand a recount in Wisconsin. I don't know if he's going to get it. He doesn't seem to be bitching too much about Michigan.
Well, he can do recounts in Wisconsin and Michigan, but, you know, Biden has a 21,000 vote lead in Wisconsin. Trump only won Wisconsin by 10,000 votes 4 years ago. So it's like the margin is twice as big this time for Biden as it was for Trump 4 years ago. And if they do a recount, you know, I think the most votes that typically swing in a recount is like 100 or 200 or 300 votes. It's not going to matter. So,
no.
I mean, you knew this was coming. The guy is just a crybaby, as we all know. I mean, that's just, we knew this was going to happen. That's why a lot of people were hoping that it would be a landslide victory one way or the other, so we wouldn't have to deal with this. But, you know, you have it looks like the Senate's going to stay Republican. You have a centrist president. I mean, to me, this is the best case scenario for all people.
Well, the only problem is you have, I listened to Kramer the other night, which I really can't handle, but traditionally, you can go back to the Eisenhower years or the, you know, whatever, the 60s maybe, because you had assassinations and stuff, but you want to go back to that. But politics-wise, the idea that, you know, that I'm going to say the BS idea that as long as you have gridlock in Washington, as long as your government does nothing, it's all good for everybody. Well, I'm going to say that once in a while that is true, and once in a while it's not true. So the idea now that you have a middle-of-the-road, somewhat do-nothing president except logging along, a Senate and a House, they're not going to be able to agree on anything. I don't see us with you know, a $3 trillion deficit this year, $7 trillion in the Federal Reserve balance sheet, and massive income inequality. I don't see a four-year do-nothing thing out of Washington when the states are gagging. I don't know that that's a solution to anything. I'm just saying. You might need a little action here from somebody.
I don't disagree with that, and I assume Frank probably doesn't either. I'm just saying that
if
you're a Republican and you've been reading that there's going to be a blue wave, even though everyone on this show knew there was not going to be a blue wave, we all
right.
said that the whole time, You got to be, at least I would be thinking, you know, logical sort of a right-minded way of thinking is like, well, we held on to the Senate. Biden's going to work across the aisle because he always has. And he's a pretty centrist, level-headed guy. Like, this isn't really that bad.
Well, I think the idea about the market, and again, people, there's the market, then there's the market, and then there's the market, depending on your definition. If the market continues to, quote, go up because 25 stocks go up for like another 4 years, that to me is not a sign of health. I mean, McDonald's same-store sales going up 6%. Because 58,000 other hamburger joints are out of business because of COVID is not necessarily a plus in this world. I mean, right? I mean, sometimes you got to stop looking at what you were looking at before. I mean, it's you have to. I mean, the parameters can change. I think, you know, Frank, where am I wrong there?
People are talking percentages now, and percentages don't count for anything when you take a hit like we did in March and April. Gosh, we've had the biggest quarterly increase ever. Well, we had the biggest quarterly decrease ever.
Right.
So, I mean, it's one of the biggest lies going. Things still suck.
Well, after my episode at the Dunkin' Donuts the other day where I could not get the girl to add with me, and was wondering how much I spent on her education. Again, story I probably shouldn't tell, but how many people in this country do you think when the GDP goes down 30% and back up 30% think we're even? I'm going to say a huge percentage.
Oh, I'd say north of 75%.
Yeah, we know that that's not really true, is it? Right?
Yeah, but see, Tom, you and I do stuff in our heads, and part of the American corporations have dumbed down.
Right.
The cash register, adding in your head, making change, all that's done. Before, the average person working a cash register had to be learned math on the job. Arithmetic, we'll call it.
Right. Frank, we got a dash here, bud. You take care of yourself.
Okay.
We'll talk to you on Monday.
I'll talk to you 62. Later today.
Yep, Dow Futures up 384, NASDAQ up 301. It's going to go on like for a while here. Yippee! We'll be back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.